beep, 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 beep. His horn went beep, beep, beep. My car went into passing gear and we took off with Gus. Soon we were doing 90, must have left him in the dust. When I peeked in the mirror of my car, I couldn't believe my eyes. The little Nash Rammer was right behind. I think that guy could fly. Beep, 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 beep.
The Little Nash Rambler, a song popular, I believe, in 1958. It was sung by the Playmates. And the Little Nash Rambler, I believe, is one of the cars you're going to find at Wisconsin's largest auto museum. It features more than 120 vehicles and really dedicated to vehicles manufactured here in the state. Larry Mueller here, and great to have with us Dawn Bondas. She is the executive director of the museum, as I said, located in Hartford, Wisconsin. And as we talk with her, we want to hear from you. Tell us about maybe the classic car you own. What do you know about its history? Did you or other members of your family help make cars in Wisconsin? Love to hear about that as well. And the number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Dawn Bondas, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Larry. Happy to be here.
So you've got some Nash Ramblers at the museum. Maybe just to start, maybe talk about the Wisconsin Automotive Museum and its history.
Yeah, well, we do have Nash Ramblers, but the museum started in 1986, so we're looking forward to our 40th anniversary next year. And it took a while to grow into what it is now. When it first opened up, there were 46 cars. They were all on loan. Currently, we have 126 vehicles on two floors, and we feature heavily on Wisconsin-built cars. So the Kissel, which was made in Hartford, but others like Nash and Rambler, we have a Mitchell, we have a Winther truck, American Motors, of course, came along a little bit later, and we have the only known Badger to exist. So the dates go from 1902 into the 1990s.
Oh, my gosh. What was the Badger like?
Well, the Badger was made over in Columbus, Wisconsin, and it only had two model years, 1910, 1911. And there were only a couple hundred cars made. So it was definitely one of those brass-era cars.
Really interesting. And by the way, what do you do? How did you come to work there and be its executive director?
Well, I have always loved history, and I have always worked in museums. And maybe part of it is I've, you know, maybe loved my own personal vehicles a little too much. But I grew up on a farm in western Minnesota, and it probably didn't hurt that I learned to drive way too young.
Okay. And, you know, you think about it, Detroit is the first place that comes to mind when you hear about car making.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got some history in Wisconsin. And maybe start by talking about the Kissel Motor Car Company.
Right. Well, Kissel Motor Car Company, earliest part of the 20th century, it seems like everybody and their brother was into manufacturing cars. It was a huge bug that had, you know, just was really biting everyone across the nation. And there were a couple of the Kissel brothers, Will and George, were into this. Their family had a manufacturing background with Hartford Plow Works, but they wanted to manufacture cars, which they did, and they wanted to manufacture a higher-end car, not just a car for the masses, which is what Henry Ford wound up doing with his Model T. So they were in it for performance and for styling and endurance, just like some manufacturers today. But Kissel had a good run. They went from 1906 to 1931. It was the Depression that took them down, just like a lot of other car manufacturers. But Kissel was known for its styling and its durability. It was one of those cars of the stars. So Amelia Earhart, Greta Garbo, William Randolph Hearst, some pretty recognizable names of the time were driving Kissel. They were also known for making so much of the car in Hartford. So it wasn't, you know, they were doing the upholstery there. They were doing their own engines for a long period of time. And that was something they really took a lot of pride in.
That's pretty darn cool, actually, that it was manufactured in Hartford, right where your museum is located. I think it's, what is it, off Highway 41, isn't it? It's kind of north and a little west of Milwaukee?
Yeah, well, it's north a ways of Milwaukee, but if you're coming out that direction, yes, you would take Highway 41, and then Highway 60 is just, you know, about a block and a half south of the museum. If you drive through Hartford on Highway 60, you can see the museum.
So problems, the financial problems of the 30 were what brought it down, but there were, I'm trying to remember, it was something like they made something like 27,000 cars, did they not?
They did, and it sounds like a lot, but when you spread that out over the 25 years, it is a low production car. 1925 was their highest production year, and they were making a little over 2,000 cars that year. So demand went up and down. It varied from year to year.
And so you have, how many Kissel vehicles do you have?
Right now we have 30.
And
there's only around 150-ish complete Kissels left. So what we have is the most you will see in one place anywhere in the world.
Oh, my goodness. How did the museum get these cars?
Well, it's taken 39 years to get to this point, but we have, with all of the cars at the museum, it's about a 40-60 split, cars that are here on loan versus ones that have been donated to the museum. And the same is true of the Kissels. Some have been donated to the museum, and others are on loan here.
You've got a new Kissel, a new addition, I should say, to the Kissel exhibit. It's the Kissel fire truck.
Yes.
It's a ladder truck, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, and not only that, it was Hartford's. And so it was used from 1920, when it was made, until 1963, and it was sold into private ownership. And it has been out of state for decades. It was actually owned at a different museum in Arizona, in the Phoenix area, the Hall of Flame. And it's the Vintage Fire Company of Wisconsin recently acquired the truck, and it is now on loan here. So it's very exciting to have it back in Hartford. And we have a couple of other Kissel fire trucks on exhibit. One is from Juneau, but the other one is Hartford's 1923 truck. And that truck makes regular appearances in Hartford's Christmas parade in November.
So what does it look like? The new one.
The ladder truck?
Yeah.
Well, it's mainly, the ladders are very visible, and the ladders were actually taken from a horse-drawn piece of equipment. So it is very long. It's the longest wheelbase that we've got in the museum. And it's got hard rubber tires, and you could check out, you know, our Facebook or Instagram page, because we did posts about a month ago when the vehicle came in.
Yeah. Have you done any restoration on it, or what restoration has taken place?
No. We don't do restoration here. We don't have a facility or staff for that, and it's also not owned by the museum. But it does need new rear rubber tires on it before it can really go out and do anything, and the owner is looking into that, and also he wants to check out some of the mechanical issues to see, you know, how it does run, but is it going to cooperate doing a greater distance than just off the truck and into the museum?
So who actually owns the truck then?
It is the Vintage Fire Company of Wisconsin.
The Vintage Fire Company of Wisconsin.
They're a nonprofit organization.
Oh, man. Any particular stories or memories associated with the truck?
Oh, with the truck? There are some awesome photos of it. There's a photo that was taken in Hartford at the Chandelier Ballroom. And that's what it is known as now. Previously, it was known as the Schwartz Ballroom. The photo was taken in 1936, and it shows Hartford's three Kissel fire trucks lined up there. They had a 1912 chemical truck, they had their 1923 truck that I mentioned, and the ladder truck. So, you know, it's just so cool to see those photos from, you know, decades ago, and then see the actual truck here.
The Wisconsin Automotive Museum has several other, obviously, Wisconsin-built cars. Tell us about a few of the other cars you have and the specialty vehicles you might have on display.
Sure. Well, some of the Wisconsin ones I mentioned, Winther truck. Winther was around and manufactured for about 10 years, and we also have a 1902 Rambler, which is the first car or the oldest car that's in the museum, and that Rambler, the Jeffrey Company, made the Rambler. That is the company that Charles Nash purchased when he was going to manufacture cars under his own name. So then we have a number of Nashes. Nash and Hudson merged. Hudson was made in Wisconsin the last 3 years of its production, so 1955 to 57. But when Nash and Hudson merged, that's what made American Motors. So the whole geeky car genealogy thing. So then we do have some American Motors, including a Rambler, and I love that song that you played. That was fabulous. And we have QR codes on some of our signboards, and with the 1961 Rambler that's upstairs, you hit the QR code, and it takes you to that song.
And you've had a relationship, or the museum has had a relationship with the Nash Car Club, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, the Nash Car Club of America for over 30 years has had dedicated space within the museum. So they exhibit not only cars, but other Nash-related items. So it could be, you know, it's the hood ornaments, it's tools, it's other memorabilia. But yeah, so they've got dedicated space on the first floor of the museum.
Dawn Bondas, our guest today, who is executive director of the Wisconsin Automotive Museum in Hartford. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments as we move along. Do you have a family member, or maybe you yourself, work in manufacturing a car, maybe a part of a car here in Wisconsin or elsewhere? Give a call. The number, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mailer for WPR News. Tomorrow on Garden Talk, Neil DeBoll returns, and he's going to be talking with us about native prairie plants. And as well, we'll help you identify invasive plants that you might find in your garden but don't want there. That's tomorrow on Garden Talk. Right now, we're visiting with Dawn Bondas, executive director of the Wisconsin Automotive Museum in Hartford, Wisconsin. And again, give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. We've talked about the Nash and a bit about the Kissels and also the Badger. Kissel, not only made cars, obviously, the fire trucks. Did they make other trucks as well?
They did. They made a wide variety of weights of trucks, so anything from down from a half ton to, you know, a multi-ton truck, and then in many cases, whoever was ordering it would have the body outfitted the way they wanted to. So it might have been a grocer's truck. Police departments would use them. Other types of delivery trucks, stake bed trucks. We do have a few of just general, a couple of Kissel trucks at the museum. And then towards the end of their run, Kissel made taxi cabs, Bradfield Taxi. That was later in the 1920s and early 30s that they were doing that. And then they were making a combination hearse ambulance. So they were, you know, in the professional vehicle market as well.
Very interesting. The one that interested me a lot, I think the nickname was the Gold Bug, and that was that two-passenger speedster.
Right.
That what did that kind of look like?
Well, the Speedster was, you know, that's Kissel's most famous model. And when I was talking about the well-known Kissel owners, that's typically the model that they had. But it was, you know, it's the early ones, earliest ones were that chrome yellow, and that's where they got the nickname of the gold bug. Later Speedsters, you know, they were coming in other colors. You could get any color that you wanted with Kissel. That was one of the things it was well known for. But Kissel, it was a convertible top with a Speedster. Later ones did have a rumble seat and make it a four-passenger. Earlier ones had what was called an outrigger seat, where you slid those seats out. Don't know that would be recommended, because there really wasn't anything to hang on to. If you see our Speedster here at the museum, it has those outrigger seats, and yeah, I don't know about that. But it was you know the low racy look to the car.
Was Studebaker made in Wisconsin?
No, Studebaker was made in South Bend, Indiana.
Okay, so I was just thinking of my Uncle Don's Studebaker President that he had. That was apparently a pretty sporty car back in the day. Do you have any Studebakers there?
We do. We have a couple of 1950 Studebakers. We have a 1947 dump truck and a beautiful 1937 Studebaker Dictator.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened to Studebaker.
Yeah, well, Studebaker merged with Packard, and then the Packard name went away, and Studebaker continued on a little bit after that. But Studebaker has a great museum in South Bend. That's well worth a visit, too.
Debbie in DeSoto has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Debbie. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you. Growing up in Detroit in the 60s, my father was a machine tool engineer, and he had a job in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And I'd like to know if there was a car plant there, what was it, and is it still there, and if not, what happened to it?
Yeah, that was in the 60s, wasn't it, Debbie?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the 1960s, if it was Kenosha, he was likely working for American Motors, is what it would have been at that time. And American Motors, you know, morphed into, well, American Motors quit production in 1987, and then I'm not sure what's happened. I think most of those buildings that are Nash and American Motors related, a lot of those are gone. I don't know specifically what happened to each and every one of them, but I know a good number of them are gone, but a couple of them still survive down there.
Oh, interesting. Where were cars made? You said there were cars made in a lot of places in Wisconsin.
There were, all over the place. Most of the manufacturing was, you know, in southeastern Wisconsin, around the, you know, Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha area, but, you know, other cars were made in Appleton and Green Bay. And some of these that were manufactured were very brief. They might have had only one or two model years, or even one model year where only a handful of examples were made.
Oh, very interesting. In your mind, what are the most interesting vehicles that you have at the museum?
Oh, gosh, they've all got great stories, but one of them that has a great story is a 1950 Nash that we have, and it's that car is 75 years old, and it has 61 miles on it, because the woman who purchased it knew, planned to learn how to drive, and then didn't. That's the short version of the story. That explains the first 35 years of the car's life.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, that's very interesting, you know, and Kissel was very innovative. Cadillac had the first electric start in 1912. Kissel had it by 1913. They had a lighted dash, you know, by 1914. So, I mean, I just find that very, you know, very interesting how advanced they were.
Yeah.
At the time.
There, at one point, you had a steam locomotive at the museum. Is it still there?
We do, yes. The 1913 number 1003 Soo Line steam locomotive. Yes, that you view from the second floor of the museum. And it typically goes out for Hartford's Christmas Parade, and that's the second Saturday in November.
How do you decide which vehicles will go into the museum?
Some of it is simply a matter of space. some of it is a matter of, you know, whether we already have an example, you know, if it's a duplicate. It's a big place, but space is still at a premium. And some of it, it's about, you know, the story that goes with the car, too. I mean, that can make a difference as well.
Well, they are really beautiful cars and trucks. And, I mean, the whole, to go to that, to the museum and see these vehicles, and there's information. The stories are there as well.
Yes. Yep, there's a signboard for each vehicle, and we have QR codes on some of the signboards. And that's usually something extra about it, but it might be when a vehicle is out running in a parade or when it came to the museum, so that you get to see it moving and hear what it sounds like.
Marini in La Crosse emailed and said that she's never heard of the Kissel car, but she's reading a book that's based in Hartford in the Kissel plant.
Right.
It's Familiaris, I think it is.
Yes, and I am familiar with that book, It's historic, but not everything in there is accurate that took place. So, and they tweak the name. They don't have it as Kissel Motor Car Company, which was the actual name of the company. I think they have it as Kissel Automobile Company. But yeah, but it's not surprising when people haven't heard of Kissel because it's been out of production for over 90 years now.
Yeah, no wonder.
And it wasn't being made by the millions like Chevy and Ford were at that same time.
Don in Cottage Grove has something. Let's go there. Hi, Don.
Yeah, hi. Real interesting subject here. Thanks for taking my call. My folks had I think it was a Nash Rambler, but one of the things that I didn't hear mentioned about what it was good for was the front seats folded down into the back seats, so teenagers really liked having their parents' car on certain occasions. I just wanted to bring that up.
And Don might have had some experience with that. I'm not going to ask him about it, but Don, what about it?
No, that is true. When you look at the late 40s and into the early 50s, that was one of the things that Nash talked about. And we have a video at the museum that you can view, and they were advertising it as, hey, this is a way to save on a motel room if you're out hunting or fishing, or it's easy to just stay in your car. Rather than someplace else, or if you have two people, one person can drive, one person can lay down flat and sleep because you could, you know, it was a split seat like that. And there were even accessories that came to help with you camping in your car. There were screens that fit over the windows so you could roll the windows down and keep the bugs out.
Oh, really interesting. Vivian in Green Bay, what's on your mind?
Recently, there have been a lot of shipwrecks discovered in Lake Michigan, and Tamara, she's with the Wisconsin Historical Society, leads a lot of those
Tamara
searches.
Thompson.
Yeah, and I believe they found a ship that had many cars that were due for delivery, and I believe the Kissel was among the ones on that ship.
Right. Well, I know Tamara, and she's been a speaker here at the museum. And you're talking about the Lakeland, and that ship went down in December of 1924, and it was loaded with 1925 models, and there was a mix of vehicles on there of Kissel, Rollin, and Nash automobiles. So we met with Tamara, it was probably about 10 years ago, and we're helping her identify which cars were which. Kissel versus Nash versus Rollin, and this was speculation on our part, but there it seemed like there was one body style for each car, and there were double white wall tires, and we think that ship was probably heading to the Detroit Auto Show, which was going to take place in January of 1925.
Interesting. Vivian, thank you. And speaking of speakers, you have a speaker series again this starting up this fall. What are some of the topics?
We do. The first one is coming up on September 24th, What's Old is New Again, and that's a history of retro car design because, you know, we all see the influences of the past coming back in modern cars. And then we've also got Lights, Camera, Cars, Automobiles on the Big Screen. That's in October. And then we have Dual Emergence, The Birth of Automobiles and Advertising in November.
You know, they all sound like fun. How much is admission, by the way?
Admission for touring the museum is $12 for adults, $11 for seniors 65 and older.
All right. And adults are how old? Kids free?
Ages 6 to 16 are $6. 5 and under are free.
All right. And again, it's really worth it to take a look at your website. If you just type in Wisconsin Automotive Museum, you're going to get a lot of great photos and some stories connected with it, and learn more about how you can get there and also the costs, as Dawn just mentioned. Dawn, it's been a real pleasure.
Yeah, thank you, Larry. This has been fun.
It's been a lot of fun for me, and I'm sure it has been for our listeners as well. And we'll look forward. Hopefully we can get you back on again down the road here.
Okay.
Dawn Bond is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Automotive Museum, located in Hartford, Wisconsin. Lots of really interesting stories connected with with the museum and with the cars. I highly recommend you take a visit. And I want to thank you very much for joining us today. All of our shows are a team effort. We've got Clara Neipert and Joel Padnott, our producers, our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I am Larry Mueller, and I thank you very much for listening, and I also invite you to stay tuned. Lots more in store here on WPR News.
And yell for me to hear, hey, buddy, how can I get this car out of second?